will be reappointed. Adora?
And now we're going to move on to an auto industry that's under fire.
They say that pain is merely your body's way of getting rid of weakness.
Silverado, it's the right truck from Chevy. The most dependable, longest-lasting trucks on the road.
From tough to crumbling, the big three automakers are awaiting a verdict from lawmakers on a bailout bill. And it begs the question, what happened to the brand of the American auto industry? As what's good for GM seems to be no longer good for America. How did these giants simultaneously disappoint the American consumer? Joining us in the studio here, we're pleased to say, is Elizabeth Tellerman, an award-winning brand strategist and author of the blog Brand Immersion. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Adora.
So clearly the numbers are stunning. In November, I think car sales were down something like 40%. But you argue in some sense that it's not so much about American automakers making inferior cars, but the sense that they are inferior cars.
You know, the American automakers got caught with their pants down in the 70s, and they were making terrible cars. The Japanese came in and swept our industry, this industry of innovation. Now, in the intervening years, we've actually made some pretty big improvements, and we've closed that quality gap. The issue is that our brands never led with behavior. You've got Ford out there years ago using quality as job one, but Toyota's leading with quality and delivering quality every day. You lose a lot of authenticity with the consumer. They're smart.
What brands in the 70s sort of went away, got so tainted that they're almost a joke now?
You know, some of those brands still exist. And if I ask you guys the question, you know, what are the brands under Chrysler? Can you tell me what they are? Do they come to mind?
Well, there's,
Dodge.
Dodge, of course, which is a mark. It's not really a brand, but you got the Dodge Ram trucks, which seems like a fairly solid brand.
Yeah.
Chrysler Sebring, but again, it's...
Right,
it's,
and you've got things like Pacifica and Crossfire. These aren't dropping off the tip of my tongue. Part of the issue, too, is that the American automakers have a proliferation of brands. There are almost too many of them. And when we look at the recent events, recent announcements from GM, they're cutting back from, you know, dedication to eight brands and cutting down to four. I'd argue that they could cut down to three, Chevy, Cadillac, and Buick.
And Oldsmobile doesn't even exist anymore.
Gone away.
So is it too late, other than cutting down to brands? I mean, you have some concrete suggestions on how they recreate the sense of strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one is product. There is nothing that will kill a great brand faster than a bad product. So product innovation is key. How? Again, the American automakers could get caught with their pants down and allow Toyota to walk in the door a few years ago with the Prius, anticipating customer need. It's beyond me, especially when in 1996, we had the EV1.
Right.
We had a phenomenal product.
Right.
So what are the things they can do? The first is know themselves. Nike, three words, authentic athletic performance. Everything they do, everything they put out into the world has to meet that acid test.
But even interestingly enough, before you get to the specifics, I mean, you say they need to start by cutting the heads off of all the CEOs and just starting there.
You know, I can't imagine a CEO keeping their job if not only their company doesn't perform, their brands don't perform, and they get in such a financial hole that they got to put their hand out. Why, with a lack of performance that's that dramatic, why keep them?
Alan Mulally was on Capitol Hill, I remember, saying, you know, what we used to do was focus on trucks and SUVs. You know, but what he didn't say was used to was last year. Used to was like 5 months ago. Now he's going to do fuel-efficient cars from Europe, but it's probably too late for that.
Yeah, where was the anticipation of customer need? And hello, let's just open our eyes. If you can't anticipate customer need, look at your competition. They were doing it a few years ago. So all of a sudden, it's big news now. All of a sudden, it's great big news that the Volt is going to come out in 2010. You got to laugh.
So they got to start with the product.
They got to have a
credible team leading that inspires confidence in the consumer.
Absolutely. And you got to lead with behavior, not rhetoric. Taglines aren't going to fix the problem, and consumers are too smart for that. You've got to anticipate customer needs, and you've got to design for customer desire. The world didn't need a 4-inch $400 MP3 player, and no focus group was going to tell us that the world needed that. But innovation and design led Apple to launch an iPod, which was bigger and more expensive. Doesn't make sense from a focus group point of view, but when you really know your customer, you anticipate their need, you know how to design for them.
Well, there's a takeaway there.
Took the market. I mean, Apple absolutely owns the MP3 player market. You don't even hear MP3 player anymore. It's iPod. iPod is the generic term. Wow.
That's Elizabeth Tellerman, who's a brand strategist, and she's going to stick with us.